Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Good day to everyone out there. I'm so happy to be spending this time with you, and I thank you for spending your time with us. It is the Good Radio Network, and this is Frankie Picasso. If you are interested in calling in and speaking to our guest today, I will give you the call-in number. It's 845-241-9943, and then press 1 to be put into the host queue, 845-241-9943. I also have a chat room open, so if you're interested in coming in and talking, if you're a little shy, you don't want to get on the phone, that's available to you as well. I was reading an article today from Amnesty International, and if you are not a member, I highly recommend that you become one because it's absolutely incredible. There was a landmark decision in Chicago about 43 years ago. There was a chief police officer, and he was torturing men of color. They were being electrocuted, giving false tortures and just all kinds of horrific things. And today, it was a landmark decision that all of the victims are going to be given reimbursement for all the stuff that happened to them. They're going to be them and their families. I'm sorry I'm rambling here because I lost the article. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. But their families are going to be able to go to college for free, and those who were tortured will be able to go to college for free. They're going to have money. There's going to be a help available to those families for PTSD and all kinds of different things that came out of their loved ones being tortured. And money, compensation is going to be going to them. I mean, this is just huge. And the reason it happened is because of you, people like you, who decided that they wanted to stand up and say enough is enough and these people deserve to be treated. And actually, it is the first center in the United States for victims of torture that they set up. So that's pretty incredible, too, that they actually did that. And the reason I'm telling you this, I mean, because it's great, but it does tie into my guest today as well. And I'm going to bring that back around and segue back into that as soon as I introduce them to you and we go through a few things. But it's absolutely astounding, and I'm just so pleased for everybody involved with that, that at least finally it happened. And so if you're thinking that one person cannot make a change, yes, they can. And that was the reason for my show. It's the reason that my guest today does what he does as well. So I hope that you will join me in welcoming Emeka Mbadwe, I hope I said that correctly. He is the founder of Triple T Films. He's an author, a speaker, and an advocate for today's youth. He energizes people to confront the world around him while he motivates them to reach for his highest potential. He is an effective digital storyteller as well as a life coach. And I think when he speaks, people listen. And I believe it's because if you watch his films, he has a mature confidence and a sincerity and a passion that comes through with his writing and his filmmaking and his speaking. So please welcome Emeka. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you know, it really is my pleasure to have you here. I'm really excited that you were here because, you know, I've been watching your films and I've been following you for a little while now, and I thought this guy has to come on our show because you think like we think, is that one person can make a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
So what got you started in motivation, in feeling like you needed to stand up and say something, and really targeting the youth? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I guess I can say it started back when I used to work with the youth. I worked with youth for over 15 years. And I guess the last position that I had was I was a youth director at a church.
Okay.
And those were the kids that I would meet, you know, twice a week, and they would kind of come up, and I would use that time to engage in conversations with them and encourage them and build with them. And from that, after I left, you know, I kind of lost those, you know, the access that I had to those young people. But I always had the internet, and I always had a voice online and a following, so I just kind of transferred that onto making the online videos and doing the online thing.
So did you go to school? Did you take filmmaking?
No school. My film school is YouTube and the internet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what kind of a camera do you use to film people? Like, is it just a regular camera, or do you have a movie camera?
Yeah, it's a DSLR. It's a small Canon camera that
okay.
I used to shoot all my films and all my videos.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, you touch a lot of hearts and a lot of touchy subjects, and that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching one of the films that really got me, Emeka, was your film about bullying in Anthony.
Yeah.
Where did you meet Anthony?
I met Anthony in the same church that I worked in.
Okay.
Yeah, he was one of the attendees there. We were good friends. And, you know, I wanted to put together a film on bullying because, you know, Staten Island alone, in the past year or two, there were about three young teenagers that committed suicide as a result of bullying.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was a very sensitive topic at that time, and I wanted to create a short film and kind of use the youth that I had in part of the group. And, you know, he volunteered. He said, you know, I want to play the one getting bullied. He said he knows that there's a voice that needs to get out there, so he decided that he wanted to play the part, and he did a pretty good job.
He did a great job. I mean, he had me in tears. His face. I mean, you just want to like hold this kid and go, "I'm so sorry for how mean everybody is to you." It was really good.
Yeah.
You're a really
yeah,
good writer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, if you're listening to Emeka for the first time, you might think he's a little bit shy and quiet, but man, you get on his videos, he's like, and you gotta do this and you gotta do that.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
Yeah. Do you know what your name means?
My name?
Yeah.
Yeah, my name means, actually the whole entire name is Chukwu Emeka.
Uh-huh.
And the name means God has done a wonderful thing for me.
Okay. Wow, I had another meaning. Good deeds. Good deeds, and I think you're living up to your namesake.
Thank you.
That's pretty incredible. So the motivation that you are into, I saw a picture of you with Lisa Nichols, which is pretty exciting. Do you go to a lot of seminars? Who are your favorites? Who do you pick up stuff from? Or is it internet only? What do you do?
Yeah, right now mainly internet only. I've never been to a seminar actually, but I definitely would like to check some out. But I do a lot. I listen to a lot of people online. People like Les Brown, Ty Lopez, you know, Tony Robbins. I listen to a lot of these speakers, and they encourage me. And I know the power behind encouragement and affirmation. And, you know, just being able to encourage somebody to achieve great things. I know there's power behind it. So that's why I try to put it out there. And anything that I can get to put out there to help somebody else, that's what I try to do.
Now, you wrote a book called
yeah.
The Most Difficult Thing in the World.
Yeah.
It's about relationship.
Yeah.
And how did you come to write this book?
Well, how did I come to write the book? A few years ago, I was very interested in relationships, very interested in females, and kind of just looking at...
I'm just going to stop you for 1 second. How old are you?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to ask that?
Yeah, I'm 34.
Okay. And he's a really good looker. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess this is back in college. I used to read a lot of books on relationships. I don't really know why. I just kind of, I like the information. I like to learn about the opposite sex. And I guess at the time, my parents were going through some marital problems. And I guess I became more intrigued to kind of read a lot of books and have more understanding about the opposite sex, how men and females are different. And the first book I read, I think, was Men Are From Mars, Women Are From
right.
Venus.
Yeah, John Gray.
And that. And that really intrigued me to want to know more, because I agree with everything in the book from
right.
beginning to the end. And I became intrigued. So I began to read a lot of other books. Like I read a lot of Cosmopolitan. There's like a magazine for females. And I was intrigued at our differences and how much, you know, we are alike, but we are also different. So I began to write down a lot of notes and take down a lot of notes. And within a year or two, I had like so much information that I thought I would just be able to put together, compile it into a book.
And did you
use
that information for yourself? Does it work?
No, it definitely works. Definitely works.
Can you give us a couple of examples?
Examples in the book? Well, one example is I know that I learned how, you know, a woman copes with stress. Well, generally speaking, a woman copes with stress as opposed to a man.
Okay.
Most females will want to talk about certain things, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to a guy who may just want to deal with whatever he's dealing with on his own. And you know, females like to talk. If me and my friend go out to like the restaurant, you know, we're going to eat.
Right.
You know, if two females go out to the restaurant, they're probably going to eat at a time to build and talk and connect and vent. So those things like that.
So if you go out with your buddy, you're not going out to talk and build.
I mean,
to go.
I mean, we may end up talking, but for the most part, we're going out because we're hungry. You know, we're going out to
okay.
eat, and then, you know, while we're there, we'll talk about whatever they talk about. But females like to express themselves and be verbal and talk about their feelings, as opposed to a man. Most men don't necessarily like to talk about their feelings or how they're feeling on the inside. They kind of want to deal with it internally.
Right.
And, you know, when they're ready to talk about it, they will.
Do you think I'm sorry, that's going off. The idea, I had this idea a couple of years ago about men and language. Do you think that men just don't have the language, the lexicon to talk about their feelings? Like, they know that they're happy and sad. They know that they're angry. But do they know that, you know, the difference between being depressed and just blue or, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, the nuances?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that they could definitely use some help in communication as far as expressing themselves. I think we all can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's ever taught to us, especially for a man. I mean, growing up, females are told to express themselves. You know, it's okay for them to cry. It's okay for them to be, you know, a little girl. But guys are not encouraged to cry. Guys are not
right.
encouraged to talk about how they feel. You know, they're encouraged to stand up and, you know, be a man. So a lot of their feelings, you know, may have been hidden or held back all those years. And now they're at a place where they may not know how to express themselves properly.
So when a guy tells his son to be a man, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly?
Well,
being a man,
I guess he can be relating to, you know, wipe those tears away. You know, don't cry. Girls cry. Be a man. You know, man up. Stop whining.
So,
you know, don't be a sissy.
Okay, but it's okay to be angry. It's just not okay to cry.
Yeah,
anger
basically.
Stuff men understand. So you can hit things. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you did a film. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but it was the theme of it was kind of adultery, I guess. You had a girlfriend in it, and then you had a date come over. A little buddy.
Yeah.
Yep. What was it? What was the motivation behind you doing that film?
But that was called ATAP.
Film?
Yeah, I wrote that one as well.
It's called what? I'm sorry?
ATAP. ATAP, which stood for All Things Possible.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of created that almost like, I guess, as an eye-opener for men, especially a lot of men that, well, men and females that may find themselves getting caught up in situations where they kind of lost someone because of a mistake that they did and something that they couldn't take back. And, you know, if they had wished that they could, you know, go back in time, or maybe they've seen the short film before they engaged in whatever it is that they did, maybe they would have thought twice about making that decision.
Right. So like a little booty call, it wasn't worth losing a really good woman over.
But he didn't realize that until she actually got caught and she left.
Right.
Yeah.
And is that something that a lot of men your age, do they think about it?
I think a lot of people think about it. I think they don't necessarily think about getting caught. They think about, I guess, how they can get away with it.
But do they think about not doing it? Oh, they can think about how to get it. Do you think most men think about that, how to get away with it? Like if let's say you had 10 guys in a row. How many of those men do you think, all of them in committed relationships, how many of them mm-hmm. are thinking about cheating, and how many of them would do it? In your age group.
I wouldn't say they're thinking about cheating, but how many of them would actually do it if, you know, there's an opportunity that they can do it and not get caught? I would say 80%, maybe 90.
So is that a matter of not having integrity, or is it that they just don't believe it's a big deal?
I don't know. Well, if they're looking at it in a way in which, you know, it can happen and they'll never get caught, it won't be that much of a bigger deal for them, especially if nobody knows about it.
Okay.
But if they see the chances of them getting caught, then of course it'll be a big deal. But
right.
if all the chances of them getting caught are taken away, I think a lot of guys will fall into that trap.
Do you think it's age related, or just all men?
Just
like,
men.
Do you think,
men
in general. So that's pretty high, Emeka. That's a pretty high ratio that 80% would cheat if they weren't worried about getting caught. So sex is one of those big differences, let's say, then, between men and women. Women become emotionally involved, generally speaking. I'm going to generalize here. Where men, it just feels good and that's it. You can walk away, not think about them again, or is that kind of what it's like?
Yeah. I mean, most men that go out there and do what they do, there's not that much emotion attached to it. It's more of a lustful thing.
A release.
I'm sorry?
More just of a release.
It's a release. It's more lust. It's more like the desire to do it. A woman, I would say, if a woman is going to go that route, she's more likely probably emotionally attached to whoever she's going to do whatever she's going to do with.
Right.
Like I don't think a female is not going to just go do it because of, I mean, some might, but for the most part, I believe a woman will have to have some type of attraction or emotional attachment to the person that she has an affair with.
I agree with that.
But a guy,
part of our nature.
Yeah. A guy doesn't have to have any of that stuff. A guy just, if she looks the part of something that he could be attracted to, he would do it.
But guys who are, like, quote unquote, in love. With somebody. Doesn't say much for mankind.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When it comes to being in love, I don't think that's not really going to stop a person, because if you're in love with someone, you care about them, you care about their feelings, and you don't want to hurt them.
Right.
But if they're able to do something in a way in which that person would never find out, then they're not really putting them in jeopardy, because they're never going to find out anyway. So they're not really hurting them. Like they say, you know, what you don't know won't hurt you.
So do you think that I know we're kind of a little bit off topic, but it's interesting to talk about it. Do you think that our society then to be monogamous is something that can't, it's too much of a strain, it just can't happen, it's not realistic?
It can. I mean, I feel like people have to be more honest. I don't think people are as honest as they'd like to be. I mean, you know, we're in a society in which we can't really be as honest as we want to be, because if a man is as honest as he should be or want to be, he's going to be looked upon as being, you know, a dog or whatever. And if a woman is as honest as she would like to be, she may be looked upon as being a slut or a whore.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. We both wrote books on relationships. And I'm wondering, in your book, is there a chapter on cheat but don't get caught?
No.
I'm just using it.
I mean, what I wrote about in my book are pretty much the tools that are needed in order to have a successful relationship. Like, if you want to be successful in your relationship, these are the things that you're going to have to do.
Right.
Now, you may ask me, like, you may say, oh, okay, you know, have my relationships have been perfect, you know, because I wrote the book or because I have the tool
right.
book. But it doesn't necessarily mean that someone with the book or with the information is going to have a successful relationship, because
right.
It's almost like, you know, these are rules, and if you abide by those rules and if you apply them, then they'll work.
Right.
But if you don't apply them, then they won't work.
And plus, relationships, you know, they're not just one person. They're two people, and two people need to engage and be on the same playbook. And, you know, they take work. Relationships take work. And people
exactly.
just think they're supposed to magically happen, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both need to work at it. And there's hills and valleys, and, you know, you're up and you're down in a relationship, and sometimes you love them to death, and other times you don't. But the game is
yeah.
to stay in it, to win it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the longer you do that, the greater chance. If you're working at it,
yeah.
you should be with your best friend, right? You should absolutely be with your best friend in the end.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
You wrote, 50-50, which I found was a documentary. It was a very interesting documentary about fathers who weren't getting equal rights to their children. Where did that
yeah.
come from?
Well, that came from, I guess, over some time, about a year or so of hearing different stories from different men kind of vent to me about what they were going through and with the court system and the family court, about how it's unfair and how they haven't seen their children in months or even years. And I've just been hearing the stories from so many different men over a period of time, and it just became interesting to me that these things are actually happening. Because at first I didn't believe them. The stories that I would hear,
mm-hmm.
like the way the courts are treating the fathers, and a father hasn't seen his kid in almost like 13 months, 14 months. But,
It was heartbreaking to watch that. It really was. You could tell that some of those dads were they just wanted their kids so badly.
Yeah. They were just broken, you know.
And it's incredible that the courts in the United States, you know, I mean, I understand a mother, you know, having custody of her child, let's say, but to mm-hmm. allow them to make the terms of visitation or, you know, he's paying child support. I'm assuming they're all paying child support. Is it mandatory?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
mandatory. Yeah, in Canada.
Yeah.
So they're paying child support, but they're not allowed to see their child. And that one
yeah.
guy who had to go to like a detention center to see his kid and pay $75
yeah.
every visit. Like, what's up with that? What did he do something wrong? Like, was he in jail or something? Like, what happened? Why does he have to pay?
No, I mean, from what I heard, I mean, a lot of them are actually in that. I don't know what that fee goes. I think the fee goes towards, because the way they set it up is that they have to go see their child in a supervised room.
Right.
And I guess that fee goes towards the facility or the person that has to conduct it, because somebody has to be there.
Right. But for him to have that kind of visitation, I'm wondering, like, was he abusive? Did he hit her? Like, why would the courts recommend that? Like, why
yeah.
couldn't he just see his kid?
I don't know. I know there were about three of the guys that had that similar situation, but I don't know any details as far as, you know, the past and what they've gone through.
So the film we're talking about, 50-50, these, I think there's about five or six dads, maybe, right? Five or six?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Who were not given visitation these guys knew to the hour how long it had been since they'd seen their child.
Yeah.
Like, they were dedicated dads who felt like, one guy said, I feel like my kid's babysitter.
Yeah.
No, I get her to bath her, feed her, and give her back. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't get to parent. And mm-hmm. they really wanted a parenting role. So I'm wondering, what is the answer? What's the answer? Did you guys come up with any any answers or?
Well, I guess the answer will be, I guess, creating awareness and getting the word out, because I made this documentary because this was an unheard voice. I mean, this is happening a lot. I mean, more than you know, but the men are afraid to speak out because of it can be used against them. If they speak out on these issues and what's happening to them in the family courts, the judge can use that against them. Like, if they go out and make a video on YouTube or they talk about it, you know, the court will say, all right, you know, you haven't seen your kid in a month. All right, let's make it 2 months. Let's make it 3 months. So
how does that benefit the court? I don't understand. Don't they want families to be together or to be happy? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought until I interviewed some of these. I interviewed one council, I think she was a council member. But
right.
She said that it's all about the money.
They
get more
money.
They just
want
money?
Wow.
Yeah, it's all about the money, they say, and the court system, the family court is all about generating money. So, and splitting the families apart, which is very crazy to even hear. But
that's horrific.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
What was your childhood like?
My childhood?
Hmm.
It was pretty cool. My parents they raised us pretty good. There's about five of us, and it was pretty good. There were no problems, none of those types of issues growing up.
Right. So you had a stable family growing up?
Pretty much.
Your parents divorced later on? And where are you in the pack?
In the pack?
Or five.
I'm in the middle. I have two older and two younger.
Now, do you have any kids?
No children.
No children?
No.
No relationship? Are you in a relationship?
No. No relationship.
How did you manage that?
How did I manage to not be in a relationship?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, currently, well, right now, I'm so busy.
Right.
With my schedule, and I'm just, I don't have the time to give to a relationship. I know what a relationship requires.
Right.
So for me to try to be in one right now, I know I'll be doing a disservice to it because I won't be able to give what it takes in order to conduct a successful relationship. I know it involves a lot of time and energy, but I'm very busy with a lot of things that I'm doing. But so, you know, I wouldn't really engage myself in that right now.
Are you still involved with the church?
No, I don't go. The church that I used to work in, I used to go there, but I don't attend there anymore. I haven't been in a while.
Okay. Is that something that you... Do you miss that at all, or it seems like there's some fodder for life and movies, you know?
Yeah, I miss the youth. I miss the young people that I used to see on a regular basis. But nothing else that I really miss, just the young people. I miss just being around them and connecting with them.
At the top of the show where I blundered my way through that, I promised a segue back. And the segue that I was going to refer to was your little video on compliance. Tell us about that.
Compliance. The title of the video was, Should You Surrender to the Police?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much a short video giving information on how, I guess, one should conduct themselves when they have been pulled over during the police interaction, and how that the time in which you're getting pulled over, if you feel that your rights are being violated, or if you feel that it's an aggressive police officer, you know, right there is not the time to challenge them. Right there is not the time to defend yourself. You know, just comply with what the officer has to say. And, you know, if you're innocent, you can always go back, fight the case. But right there, it's not the time and place to challenge the officer, especially if you notice that he's a little aggressive in his whatever he's doing. When is the time to challenge them?
Mm-hmm. Like after they release you, like do you go what should one do if they feel their rights have been violated?
I mean, just go according to whatever, you know, is happening at the time. And then, you know, when once you're released, you can always go back, get a lawyer, try to fight the case. But you know, if a cop is saying, if a cop pulls you over and a cop says, you know, put your hands up or, you know, do something.
Right.
That's not the place to challenge
them. Oh, I agree with you.
You know,
yeah,
they have a gun.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
if he tells me step out of my vehicle,
you're gonna step out
I'll
of your
probably
vehicle.
Ask, you know, I'll stop the vehicle. You know,
right.
But depending on what the situation is, how he's asking me, how he looks, you know, I'll make an assessment of the situation and I have to act accordingly. I'm not going to challenge him. I'm not going to challenge the officer.
And, you know, I liked how you said in the video, you told the listener that, you know, you're not being a wimp, you're not being, you know, scaredy cat or anything like that. It's just like you're doing what you need to do to survive, really, right? Get through that
yeah.
that incident and then
mm-hmm.
do what you need to do.
Exactly. In the video, all I gave were basic survival tactics.
Right.
That one could apply if they find themselves in an unhealthy situation with the police. You know,
how
it
many,
may or may not work.
Have you ever been in that position?
Have you been pulled over?
Have you been pulled over just because you're black? Have you been profiled because you're black?
I don't know. I wouldn't say because I was black because I don't really know. I can't tell like what the officer was thinking or doing when he pulled me over. But I've definitely been pulled over before a lot more when I was younger.
Okay. Were you speeding?
No. One time, I guess, I was pulled over in the middle of the street, but there were like three vans pulled up out of nowhere, ran up on a car, told me to get out the car, and then while I was outside of the car, they stripped my car, took everything out, the trunk and the door, and they just like took everything out of the car.
Wow.
And I just asked, you know, like, what's going on? But they didn't tell me up into the end. When they were done with the search, they asked me, where did I just come from? And I said I was came from Wendy's. So I had the food in the passenger seat, and she looked at my receipt to see that I just came from Wendy's. And she just, you know, somebody had made a report.
They couldn't have done that first.
Yeah, that would have been nice, right?
Yeah. Well, that would have been exciting. Well, that's something to remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so, but they said somebody did make the phone call. Somebody did report somebody with a gun or, you know, in a similar car.
Sure.
Which could have been somewhat believable only because there were so many of them that ran up on me. It wasn't like just one. So many of them to be in that area and to like pull up on me at the same time, something must have been going on.
Right.
Like they were definitely looking for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was cool.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You know? It's scary for you. And I know I introduced you to Nizia, my guest who was on a couple of weeks ago. And where she lives, I mean, there's so much killing in her city. Like, it's just, man, the police are probably on the go all the time. And so if you are an innocent person, you know, God forbid that you're walking down the street, the wrong street, because who knows what could happen to you.
Yeah.
You know? But her husband was shot 38 times by somebody, you know? Like, it's just pretty horrible. Not by a police officer, by you know, some gang member, I guess. But, yeah. So I guess you always have to be careful what you're doing. So that was good advice. I mean, you're offering good advice. Good for you.
Yeah.
So does this stuff just come to you? You think, oh, I'm going to wake up today and oh, yeah, you know what? I'm going to talk about this and just make a movie?
But, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, the ideas come to me just randomly.
Yeah.
And you know, I just say, hey, this sounds like something that could be interesting to talk about or to shoot, and I just make it happen.
Okay. Tell me about Found Dead. I haven't been able to find out any information on that, except that it was a big movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, Found Dead was a short film that I did. It's not really public right now. It's in the film festival circuit. So I guess once that has, you know, finished running its round, doing its round, I'll be able to release it online. It's a young woman's compromise in hopes of making extra money that will lead her to a destination that she could never have expected.
That's all you can tell us?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, So a woman, she's a female like escort dancer.
Okay.
She kind of goes outside of what she normally does, compromises a little bit to make a little bit of extra money, mm-hmm. and leads down a path that she didn't expect.
Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to see. How long is it?
It is 15 minutes. Short film.
Okay. And yeah. is there a message to it at the end? Like a lot of your stuff?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
There definitely is.
So it seems like you have a lot of theme, Emeka. You know, they're kind of morality theme, I would call mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
Values.
Mm-hmm.
You know? How important
yeah.
is that to you, personally?
Very. When it comes to filmmaking, I feel like if I'm going to shoot something, whatever it is, it's going to have some type of message. And that message is going to hit you real hard at the end of whatever it is that I'm shooting. A positive message.
So, as a coach, I'm a life coach too. And as a coach with my client, probably one of the first exercises that we do mm-hmm. is to find out what people's top values are. So your top five or three values. What would you say yours are?
My top value?
Yeah, top three values, let's say.
I would say my top three values, I guess I'll say my family
mm-hmm.
and the love of my family. I value the youth. I believe in the youth that I'm here to...
Hello? Just lost him. Oh, there you are. Back. Are you back? No, we just lost Emeka. Hopefully he'll call us back and once he realizes that he's gone. Interesting young man. Really, if you go to www.emeka, E-M-E-K-A, M-B, Zimbabwe, you can see his movies, and they're really great. So let's see if you call back. Hi there, you're back.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. I just lost you.
That's okay. So we were talking about your values. So you said it was family, youth, and?
Yeah, family. It's kind of points me to family, the youth, you know, and I guess health.
Health? Okay.
Yeah.
And in order to be happy, I found in life that people need to be in alignment with their values
yes.
in almost every area of their life.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I do.
So in your filmmaking, I guess a lot of your films are geared to youth that you love.
Yeah.
And I think that you have, that there are some strong family values and messages in love in all of them, really.
I definitely try to leave. Sorry?
No, on your Facebook, it was fun. I was listening to your video, Do What You Love.
Yeah.
And it's part of that, right? It's being in alignment with your values and
Hello? Hello, I think I lost you. Hello? Hello, can you hear?
Hi there. How crazy. Hey. I got chopped and you got chopped. We both got, that's never happened in a show before. That is just crazy. Okay.
I just lost
well, hopefully, I think it might have been their system. I'm back on a phone this time. So hopefully we're good. Where were we? We were talking about, so I had a call for somebody, you know, they had been in Australia, they lost their visa, they went to, they came back to their home country, and they're trying to make some money to raise enough money so that they could fly back to Australia, let's say from the U.S. and because they left their boyfriend there. And so if that was your, if that was, you know, your coaching client, let's say, what would you tell this young person? They want, oh, so they got a job. They got a job. Sorry, you need to know this part. They got a job. They thought, well, I'll just get a job at a resort. And they got a job at a resort where it's, the conditions are disgusting. Like, the living conditions are disgusting. The boss is on her all the time. And they totally lied about everything. And she wanted to know, what should I do? Because now I spent all my money to get here.
All right, so let me make sure I got an understanding. So this is a female we're talking about.
Yes.
So she moved to, she visited, went to move to Australia, and she lost her passport?
No, she, her visa was expired, so she had to leave.
Oh, so she had to leave Australia?
Yes, and come back to the U.S.
Come back to the U.S. So what is she trying to do now? She's trying to go back?
She's trying to, she has no more money. So she's trying to raise enough money so that she can go back to Australia. So she decided to get a job. There weren't any jobs around, she said. So she went to a remote resort to work at this resort. And when she got there, it wasn't what they claimed it was.
Mm.
So should she stay or should she go, was her question.
Well, I mean, if she's working at a place and it's not what she expected it to be, I mean, if they're paying her, I would stick it out until she finds something else. I mean, I'll stick it out while she's looking for something else. Because if she abandons it, then she'll just be stuck with nothing.
But it's horrific, and the boss is you know, groping her, and the living conditions are disgusting. And so you think she should stick it out?
Oh, no. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, that she, yeah, she should definitely leave. If she's under those conditions, I would bail out from that. And
see,
she's a young
from
female.
From my perspective is, why is she trying to raise all this money by herself when her partner's back there wanting her to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he wanting her to come back? We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, why is this woman trying to raise all this money and her boyfriend's not prepared to leave there or even prepared to help her get a ticket?
Yeah, it sounds a little strange.
Yeah, you know, it's all interesting, but it's funny that somebody would ask the question, what should I do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I know what I'd do.
Yeah, I mean, she made it from out there all the way down here. She's
mm-hmm.
a young female.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'd be that difficult. I don't think it's that difficult for a young female to make money in America.
I don't either.
More opportunity. Way more opportunity.
Absolutely.
Than
I mean,
does.
If you're going to get a serving position somewhere, you can get a serving position anywhere.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a young
it's
woman walks into... Yeah.
It's just interesting that, you know, from a perspective, male, female, we talked about that earlier, you know, how a guy thinks and how a girl thinks. And my first thought was, why is your boyfriend expecting you to pay to come back? Why is he helping you? Your conditions are horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like something very strange, if that's an accurate story, you know?
Right. So my question, you know, my first question kind of is like, do you have a real relationship with this person? Or, you know, do you just want to have a relationship with this person? Really, right?
Yeah.
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 But let's talk about more of all the stuff that you do to make the world a better place.
Sure.
Through, let's talk about your line of outerwear or clothing. You've got some T-shirts.
Oh, yeah, it's not really like a clothing line or anything. It's just more of a shirt company that I could have things printed on, like quotes, certain quotes that I use often and things like that. But no,
and
particular,
the clothes
like,
that you have
line.
Most often on your clothing is?
Changing the world, that one step at a time or one person at a time.
Okay. And that's important to you, obviously, because you've got it on a bunch of stuff. Changing the
yeah.
world one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you want the world to change, Emeka? What would you like to see in your perfect world?
perfect world, consciousness.
Yeah.
People being made aware, being more educated about things. There's a lot of ignorance going on, a whole lot of it.
Mhm. In what capacity?
A large capacity.
No,
very large.
But what area? What area are people ignorant?
People, I guess a
you
lot
feel?
Of people ignorant. I would say, and I guess conditions, as far as, like, even with the racism,
mm-hmm.
and the conditions of where we are now, as far as, like, black people in America.
Right.
I hear a lot of things. I hear people say a lot of things that they don't, I believe they're ignorant to history and what black people have gone through in this country and where they are now. Like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't understand how things used to be, how things once were, and compared to how they are now. You know, we're moving forward. Like regardless of if something happens here or there, or, you know, a black person gets shot or is not treated equal,
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, we are moving.
I've lost you again. Get out of here.
You got me?
Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said, so regardless if they get shot, what did you say after that?
So I was saying, like, you know, though things are still happening, though there's still a lack of equality,
mm-hmm.
we are still moving forward. Like, we have advanced so
right.
much. And, you know, things are getting better.
Let me ask you
things
something. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
And this might sound, you know, I don't know. It might not sound nice, but I'm going to ask you this anyway. From your perspective,
yeah.
do you think that black people help one another?
Black people help
really?
One another?
Do
sometimes.
They? Like, when I look at different ethnicities that come into, let's say they move to a place like the Chinese or the Indians, or like East Indians,
mm-hmm.
or different ethnic groups. When they come, they usually, like, send one or two ahead, and then they work really hard to bring another family member and another family member, and until, like, maybe, you know, like East Indians, they'll have maybe 10 or 12 people living in a house. And
yeah.
as each one comes and works, they buy a house for another family member, right? And everybody
yeah.
helps to buy a place for another family member.
Mm-hmm.
They give each other a leg up.
Yeah.
I don't see black people doing that.
No, they don't. It's a fortunate.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lack of education. I think a lot of it is conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
We're not necessarily conditioned to be that way, to support one another, to help one another. Like a lot of like entertainment, music, videos. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of these videos that we watch are showing the opposite of what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They talk, you know, a lot of these songs are only talking about killing each other and, you know, doing this and doing that and, you know.
Even just calling somebody bitch, you know, even just that, yo
yeah.
bitch. Like that,
yeah.
it's derogatory. It's not,
yeah.
it's not pleasant. It's, you know, people think, yeah, well, you know, it's just slang. It's just, we're just teasing or whatever. But when people are called names, those
yeah.
names stick, right? They hurt, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's
language
much,
is important.
You say, yeah, language is definitely important. You know, unity is important, and that's why there has to be more of that, more unity, more leaders to unite the people and teach them
right.
and educate them. Because if we go back to, you know, days of slavery, this was never here. But, you know, black people were just kind of brought here and kind of left to just, you know, develop on their own. They weren't
right.
they weren't brought up to be united. And to get along with one another. You know, during the time of slavery, they were just, a lot of them, it wasn't about coming together. It wasn't about being united. It wasn't about any of these things. It was just about, you know, being
surviving.
An individual and surviving.
Right.
So,
but
so
if you look at where they came from the villages in Africa, they worked as a village. They lived as a village. You know, that saying about it takes a village to raise a child,
yeah.
that's exactly
yeah.
what it was. Right?
Yeah.
Their
yeah.
roots were here being a village and being together and helping one another.
Yes, true. But it's been the conditioning over the years that has kind of brainwashed.
Well, obviously it's not working, what's happened. So something needs to change and someone needs to change it. And I think that you're a really good example of someone who can change it, you know, not by yourself, but definitely, you know, being a digital storyteller is a very powerful way of changing the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most
so
definitely.
So kudos to you, my friend. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So what does the future of Mecca look like? I know that you talk about you have to have a plan. You got to have that 5-year plan. 5 years from now, where are you? What are you doing?
5 years from now, making movies. Making movies.
Mainstream movies? Art movies?
Yeah. Mainstream movies in the theaters. 1 to 2 a year.
Will they still
TV
have a
shows.
Message?
They all will. Yeah, well, I'm going to be, you know, trying to write and direct TV shows, movies, you know, anything visual, any type of visual communication that I can have with people, kind of get messages out, conscious messages, positive messages, and I'm trying to be, the, you know, a great storyteller.
Has anybody recognized your videos, your stories? Have people, anybody important, let's say?
Important?
More important than me.
Well, I mean, everybody's important to me. I give everybody equal time. I respond to everybody that writes
to me.
Let's
say in the film world, where you want to be, somebody who can help
in
that genre.
In the film world, I haven't heard from anybody in the film world per se.
Okay.
Well, we need
you to.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, nevertheless, regardless whether I hear from somebody or not, I'm still going to make it happen.
Well, for sure. Yeah. But if anybody's listening, if you stayed with us through all these casualties of being on and off, and I hope that you did, then perhaps you can look at Ameca's Films if you are in the business. Maybe Mr. Arthur Kanegas can have a look because he is in the business. And if you see some talent there, maybe you can help him out. That'd be great. And people can go. I did give out your website once. You give it out again, Ameca.
Okay.
Give us your handle again.
Oh, my website is myfullname.com. That's Ameca. And by the way, .com. Should I spell it?
Yep.
And spell it. My first name is E M E K A, and then my last name is M like Mary, B like Boy, A like Apple, D like David, I W E. So it's Ameca and by the way .com. And on Facebook, you can find me with the same name. It's facebook.com/, and then my full name, Ameca and by the way.
Awesome. Perfect. So you're going to be a big movie guru, director, writer. Do you want to be a star? Do you want to continue to star in your movies? Does it matter?
I mean, I like acting. Acting was my first love. Before actually creating films, I was acting, and I would go to the auditions and I used to read scripts that I just didn't like. I decided, I said, you know what, let me just make my own movies. So that's when I started to do it.
So you're working in the movie industry a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think you said at the beginning you're on the periphery of it or in it, just like people who apprentice should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you seen, you worked on movie sets and anything big?
Big. I worked on a few sets. Nothing major. I would say I worked on a GMC commercial, which was a union shoot, so it was a pretty big shoot. But I haven't been on like any major feature film sets yet.
Okay. Well, they're probably coming. And what about the youth? What do you have any plans to continue to help them? Anything concrete?
Just right now the films, putting out the videos, creating the films, opening the eyes of the young people. I got a lot of messages every day from young people around the world saying thank you. Thank you for your perspective. I never thought about it like that. I never saw it like that.
Nice.
You know, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. One young person wrote me just yesterday saying that he wanted to tell me about how he just got his GED, and he thanked me because, you know, my videos motivated him to go out there and get things done. And, you know,
nice.
those are good times. Those are things that give me joy and help me to push me to continue to do what I do.
So do you think that he watched your 53 steps of motivation to start and reach any goal?
Yeah, he saw one of my videos. I think it was make it hurt or make sure it hurts.
Oh, make sure it hurts. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of me, actually. There was a video I used to captain the Dragon Boat team. And before we went out, I was like, dig deep, it's going to hurt, but who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, my husband laughs at that. It's on film. I look at that and I'm like, oh, my God, what a way to motivate somebody.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Emeka Mbadwe. That's a great name.
Thank you.
I think we're going to hear more from you.
I hope so.
I think you're
going to
be a
awesome.
Big movie maker.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm definitely.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think you've got a really great message, and I think that you are changing the world, and I love it. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to give up. We'll see how far it goes.
Sounds good. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. For those of you who stuck with us, thank you so much for sticking around. I'm sorry there's a little bit of hiccups throughout the show today, but we do appreciate you, and I thank you, and I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.